whatever form you have and turn to Revelation, the first chapter. Verse number 18. It's in red. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And then chapter 3 and verse number 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Then Revelation, the 20th chapter, you see the theme here? Verse number 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And then go back to Isaiah 22. In verse number 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. Your presence is in this place, God. Anything could happen. In the middle of the preaching, God, you could heal somebody. You could speak to our heart and cause us to be delivered. We ask in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Before service, went over to Brother and Sister Bowman and told them how sorry I was. Their dog, their golden lab, had passed away after 12 years, and we talked about it, and all of a sudden, all three of us are weeping, you know? And how can we be so touched except there's somebody who loves us so much unconditionally? We're talking about Jesus, who loves us so unconditionally that he laid down his life for us. I said to Brother Bowman, you know, if the Lord tarries, you better be crying at my funeral, you know? Friday, the batteries to our digital door on my den went dead. It's a keypad, and you press the code, and then the door unlocks. You know, you didn't need a key. It also has a key lock, but I searched for the entire house, and I couldn't find a key. I guess I just won't use that room anymore. There are Christians who don't have the key, and so they say that healing was for the first church, but it's not for us anymore. I guess we won't use that room anymore. Keys are important according to the scripture that we read. You need a key to get to the bottomless pit, and there are keys to hell and death, and so then there must be a key to get to heaven. If you have to have a key to get to hell, I believe you have to have a key to get to heaven. If you have a newer car, you realize that you don't need a key anymore. You know? You put this key fob in your pocket, and just as you approach the car or touch the handle, the door's open. You don't have to find your key in your purse or your pocket anymore. And Jesus invented this key fob a long time ago when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. It's inside of us. And as we approach things, amen, God says, okay, I'll open that door for you. Amen. It's automatic. Amen. Nothing is more frustrating than arriving home and you realize, I don't have the key, or I'm locked out of the house. You start walking around the house. You check all of the doors. You're looking to see if there's a window that is unlatched, and then you find out you're locked out. Everything you own is just inches away, but you can't get to it because you're locked out. All of the comfort, the refrigerator is in there. Now I'm talking to people. We have been given so many promises by God, yet there are so many frustrated Christians that don't know how to access the promises because they don't have the right key. I came to church this morning at 7:45 and I walked up the platform and Brother Fitch was playing the piano, and as I approached him, all of a sudden he saw me, and it kind of startled him. I didn't want to have to do CPR on the platform. But we shouldn't be startled by God wanting to touch us in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day. I have dozens of electronic keys that we have given to people within the church, so when there isn't church service, they have entry into this building. And many of you take advantage of it, come in here and pray, because this is a special place. It's the sanctuary. I really believe, I read the scriptures on Wednesday, that God is more attuned to our prayers in this place than any other place, because it has been set aside for prayer and worship. But if you can't get here for some reason, you want to be here, but you can't because you don't have the key, well, you come and see me. Now, it makes sense that if we don't have access to our home, our car, or our church without a key, how can we enter into the kingdom of God without a key? Keys are the authority, and they are the right of ownership, if you will. In Isaiah 22, it tells us of the account of Eliakim, a man who was unknown to the people of Israel, but God promoted him to rule over the house of David. And that verse says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so that shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." He was saying, "I am going to give you authority like nobody else has." I remember that first house that we bought. And I remember at the closing, they handed us the key to this little two-bedroom home that we were so excited to live in. And I held on to that key because it represented the ownership of my first house. To show the people that Eliakim had authority, God put the keys of the house of David upon his shoulders, and this was a sign of authority. And this scripture was a prophecy of the authority of Jesus. It said in verse 18 of that first chapter of Revelation, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death, or all authority given to me in heaven and earth." And so we know who has the authority over death and hell and all of the promises that we have access to because we have the key. Church, we now have the key, but the enemy wants us to lose them. We have the key of knowledge to stop others from entering into the kingdom of God. We have the keys to the promise. There's so many people out there that can enter into an authority, can enter into the goodness of God because they just don't have the knowledge of it. Would you turn to Luke, the 11th chapter? Luke chapter 11 and verse number 52. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves and them that were entering in, ye hinder. People who put themselves in a position of authority, and they've taken the keys of knowledge away. No, this Bible isn't for you anymore. It's just words of men who have penned them years ago. You don't want to enter into the kingdom of God. And so you hinder other people from getting into the kingdom of God. Much of religion is just that today. It's not necessary. Somebody touches their heart, tells them about some truths in the Bible, and they explain it away that it isn't for them. Put the keys down. The devil wants to keep people out of the baptismal room. He does. You have to use the right key. There are so many people using the wrong key to try to get into the kingdom of God. Yes, John 3 and 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But that isn't the key to the kingdom. Yes, Romans 10 and 9, which was written to people who were already saved, say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. But that isn't the key to the kingdom. You got something in your hand, but it is not allowing you to enter into or see the kingdom of God. Experience the power and privilege that God has given each and every one of us. Apparently, there will be a lot of people who have used the wrong key, and they will be disappointed one day. Would you turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter? Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There are too many people rationalizing, I can get in without a key. You know what they are? They're burglars. You can't walk into another man's house. This is God's house. You can't get into the kingdom of God except you come through the front door with the right doctrine, with the right key. Oh, all that stuff, it's not necessary. Liar? It is. He sacrificed his life. And then he took the keys of hell and death, and he turned them over to you and me. And sometimes we live so far under the privilege of what God has given us. Well, they prophesied, they cast out devils, they did many wonderful works, but they were handing the wrong keys. You can memorize the whole Bible. You can feed the poor. You can donate your vital organs to someone that you don't even know. But the key to heaven is who has power in heaven and earth. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. We all pray to the same God. No, we don't. There is a God that has authority. There is a name that is above every name. And unless you know who that God is and have that name put on you when you're baptized, well, you just don't have the keys. Would you turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter? Matthew 16, starting in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Doesn't matter what mom believes. Doesn't matter about what your wife believes. Doesn't matter even what your pastor believes. It's what you believe and have identified as truth. Unfortunately, there will be people who will be sitting in church at the rapture and not go up because they haven't believed what has been preached, what has been written. You yourself work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because there's something that has to be done rather than something that has been heard. Glory to God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Do you realize he's the first one to grab a hold of the keys that opened the door to salvation? And Peter distributed. He made copies of the keys. I don't know if he went to Brother Shoddy's shop or not, but he made copies of the keys, and he distributed those keys to as many. What we're doing here this morning is we're distributing the keys that you could open the door not only to the promises of God for yourself, but open the door for promises and salvation to all those that are around. Here, would you like a key? Oh, yes. A couple of weeks ago, we took the littles out to Lake Geneva, and we got on one of those boat rides that goes along the shores and describes all of the huge mansions. We're talking about houses that have 100,000 square feet, and they come for a few weeks in the summertime. Wow. And we went by probably the biggest of the houses, huge pillars. You know, I don't know if it was Maytag or Wrigley or it was somebody else, I think. But, I mean, it was just absolutely huge. And then they had to have a huge tent on the outside because it was his birthday next weekend. And they were going to invite all of the people to come and celebrate his birthday, because what a wonderful guy he is, because he has all this money. And maybe he's just a wonderful guy, generous. The one who was doing the announcing said, last year, the man bought a brand new Corvette and put it on the lawn. And then everyone who came in, he gave a key. And there was only one key that would start the car. And if you had the key, you could drive off in this brand new Corvette, you see. Isn't it a shame? Only one person got a Corvette. Should have called Oprah, you know. Wouldn't it be terrible? You're invited to a party to celebrate Jesus this morning. Only one of you get a key, though. I hope it's you. No, my God is more generous than Oprah or this guy. He's given everybody a key to the kingdom of God. And don't just sit there with it. Unlock some doors. Hallelujah. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, thank God for keys. Thank God for keys. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You know, what we're doing is we're a SWAT team, folks. We go in and we release people from their captivity because we have the authority and we have the power. Amen. It'd be a horrible thing that you have the ability to release somebody from a sickness, release somebody from something that has been pulling them down emotional, physically, spiritually, and we walk right by them. Jesus gave Peter the keys or authority because he had the revelation that Jesus was God, and without that revelation, it just won't work, you see. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you turn to Acts, the 19th chapter? Acts chapter 19, verse number 14, it says, "And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so." In fact, let's go up to 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so." So here's somebody who has put themselves in an authoritarian position, a religious position, if you will. "And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" You see, hey, you're trying to enter into something and you don't have any relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul does. He has authority. Jesus has authority. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Hallelujah. I'm glad I got the keys. I'm glad I've got the authority, if you will. Hallelujah. Isaiah 22:22 says, "And the keys of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." In other words, the authority to act in the name of the king. Now, keys back then were not like keys today, you know. They didn't have key fobs. A typical key was about 8 inches to 10 inches long, and they would carry them on their shoulders because they were so large, but they also wanted everybody to know that they were owners of property and had authority. Glory to God. So here's what they do. They take the keys, they throw them over their shoulders, and they'd walk around town, and people would know There's a rich guy. There's somebody who has authority. There's somebody who has a big house. There's somebody who has some success in the world. They got it together. It showed that they were the owners of property and carried keys on their shoulders because of the symbol of wealth and authority. People need to see something within us that says, hey, they have authority. They have power. Take a look at Isaiah, the ninth chapter. We're supposed to only read this at Christmas time. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This baby is the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon their shoulders. Now, these people knew exactly what the prophecy was that Isaiah was saying. He's saying he has the authority, he has the keys on his shoulder, he has the power in order to do things that no one else has. The word government meant authority. The keys were on the shoulder of Jesus to open the doors of salvation. Jesus then passed the keys to Peter because of his revelation. And when you walked in here and recognized that there's only one true God, his name is Jesus. He's the one who spoke the worlds into existence. He is the one who took the keys of hell and death in his hands. Then we, too, receive the keys to the kingdom. Peter used these keys for the first time on the day of Pentecost. And I know so many of us know what I'm speaking of. So many of us have read these scriptures before, but maybe we need to stir up what's inside of us. Maybe what we need to understand is, hey, I'm walking out of here with authority. I'm sorry, I can't give you a new Corvette this morning. But I can give you healing, deliverance, peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can add to your life 10 years. Amen. Keep your Corvette. Who cares? And if you have a Corvette, I love you. You know. Acts chapter 2. Some of you read it. Starting in verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which is now, ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to everybody in this place this morning. Revive that same feeling that these men had on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter, well, who's that? He's the guy that was given the keys to the kingdom, that he would open doors and shut doors. Oh, we're only interested in opening doors. No, I need to shut the gates of hell. I need to stop the enemy from coming at me. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, not to join a church, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or warped, perverse generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'm just amazed that one sermon could cause 3,000 people to be baptized in Jesus' name and most likely filled with the Holy Ghost. Not a 10-week Bible study, not a 12-week Bible study, but can you imagine if there was such a conviction in the house of God, if this place was filled with visitors that... This was the passing of the keys of authority. David to Jesus, Jesus to Peter, Peter to one God, believers. Amen. Church, every one of us that have knowledge of the one God, baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, can we stand by with keys on our shoulder and not unlock doors for people who are struggling to get into the kingdom of God and the promises that God has afforded each and every person on the face of the earth? We have men and women going into prisons 3 times, maybe 4 times a week to unlock doors. No, they're restricted by bars, but now no longer are they restricted from getting into the kingdom of God. Why do you do that? How many are sitting on our pews? No, we're adding to the kingdom of God. It's not just about adding people to our pews, but we're adding to the kingdom of God, which is more important. Oh, so many are so close to the promises of God. Come home, you want to get into the house. You're so close, but you can't get in because you don't have a key. Yet they stand outside the promises because they just don't have the keys. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So he called them that knew who he was, and he said, listen, I'm going to give you unlimited power. We sometimes have this mindset that they got it and we didn't. And the fact of the matter is we have that same power that Jesus gave his disciples. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose names was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of Samaria, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what I believe we can do is add our names to this list. When we receive the revelation of the one true God, the mighty God, we too have been added. Pencil your name in here, because God has given us that same power. You are the key person. You are the key person in this dying world. And the sooner we take the responsibility of not walking by people, but stopping and asking them, is there something that we need to open for you? I'm so impressed by several months ago, brother and sister Lenny Smith were with us, and we went to a restaurant to eat. It was the Marriott at the time, and it was a nice restaurant, and there was a lady who was waiting on us, and she came back and says, is there anything else that we can do for you? And he just grabbed her hand and said, no, what is it that we can pray for you? And instantly, this lady just started to weep and shake and said, I don't have a home to go to tonight. Are you kidding? You're working in this fine restaurant. You don't have a home. And my kids are living with somebody else. And I wish they were with me, but I can't. Well, doesn't look like you need any doors opened. No, you do. There's so many people who are so close to all of the promises of God, but they can't get in because no one's given them the key. In 1998, I got a call. I was in Paris. I was with Brother Novaki. And in fact, I was sitting on the front pew. I was about to go to the podium to preach for him. It's a wonderful church. And I know a lot of you have heard the story. I'm sorry if I'm redundant. But I got a call that my dad died in an accident. And I was thinking, how can I minister to somebody else when I am so broken up? I had these feelings of guilt because I told him on the way to Paris, I'd stop in New York and call him, and something happened to my computer and I wasn't able to. And now I'm thinking, why didn't I call him? The woulda, shoulda, coulda, but there are a lot of people, folks, who could be so close to death and yet they're not into the kingdom of God as yet. What I found out is he was living by himself. I was probably his only caretaker. I'd get there at like 6:30 in the morning and get some breakfast for him. He was suffering from Alzheimer's, and apparently he went to the store. He came back and he lost his keys. And so he went around the whole house trying to get into the house, and he finally found a window that was open, and he had to get on a step ladder. And as he was on the step ladder, the ladder fell, and so did he. And he just laid there and died of exposure in November. All because he didn't have a key. I don't say that for any kind of sympathy, but I want you to understand that there's somebody else who's looking for an open door. Somebody who needs us to unlock a door for them so they can get into the comfort that we have, the peace that no man can have except you have Jesus. One last scripture, Colossians 3. The ushers or the musicians would come. You want the key? Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm telling you, there is a key, there is a password, there is a name that is above every name. And using that name, I'm telling you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It'll open doors that nobody else can open. It'll shut doors that nobody else can shut. Glory to God. Amen. I know this is a convicting message, but church, I want to see my relatives saved. I want to see those people that I see on a regular basis. I want to see them saved. And yes, there may be some backlash. I know if you open carry, somebody is going to criticize you because of what you're carrying and what you believe. I show up at tennis with 85 to 90 degrees, and I'm wearing long pants because I feel it's modest. It's the way a minister should look. It's the way a Christian should look. And I know I'm open to criticism. What's wrong with you? You're different than the rest of us. I don't show up to weddings with shorts on and tank tops and some things I saw yesterday that I don't want to ever see again. But we are different than the rest of the people in this world. We have authority. We have power. And it's time we started using it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know who the guy was who got the key that started the car. But I'll guarantee you one thing. He didn't take that key and give it back to the homeowner and say, you know what, it was a nice gesture, but I don't think I want it. Could we get to that place where God's given us the key? Thanks. But you know, somebody's going to be critical of me. No. When we were in Mexico, we went through this incredible cathedral. I mean, today, to build it, I don't think I'd be exaggerating, cost $100 million at today's prices. And there was a statue, and there was a sign below it. I'm not sure who it was, somebody who was with us. I think perhaps it was Sister Nibia. And I says, what does that say? And she said, give God what's left. Now, we know that is just the opposite of what the Bible says. Give God first, you know. And then God will make sure that you always have. But you know what? At almost 71 years old, I feel like I want to give God what's left of my life. I don't want to pull back. Okay, I've been in the church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I'm telling you what, I think I still have some value, and I think I can still open a few more doors to somebody who is standing so close to the promises of God. Amen. All those with keys, would you stand? Amen. Would you come?